This is listener-supported WFHB, Bloomington, Bedford, Ellettsville, Nashville, community radio for South Central Indiana, online at wfhb.org. It is currently 27 degrees with overcast skies in South Central Indiana. This afternoon, expect a slight 20% chance of snow, a high today of 30 degrees, and a low tonight of 7 degrees. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's the Daily Local News on WFHB.
You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer-powered,
listener-supported,
community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Carolyn Vanderweel.
And I'm Ron Bronson. This is the Daily Local News for February 1st, 2018.
The people who are experiencing homeless are an above average victims of crime rather than perpetrators of crime, if you looked at the wider population.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton, Community and Family Resources Director Beverly Callender Anderson, and Police Chief Mike Dekoff presented the next steps for the city's Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force this afternoon. We'll hear their presentations later in the program in today's feature report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, our weekly public opinion feature, Voices in the Street, asks community members if they feel like Bloomington is safe. That's coming up later in Voices in the Street. But first, your daily headlines.
Indiana green transfer and recycling officials have decided not to pursue a controversial waste transfer station proposed for Western Monroe County. Company co-owner Jeff Fagno notified Monroe County commissioners of the decision by email on Tuesday. In the three-line email, Fagno says the decision is based on, quote, the remonstrance our proposal generated, unquote, and he apologizes for the turmoil it did create. According to the Department of Environmental Protection, Indiana Green Transfer and Recycling applied to IDEM for a transfer facility permit in late September. The proposed facility was to be built on North Angelina Lane, adjacent to PrintPak. Area residents and business owners learned of the proposal through IDEM in October. They promptly began voicing their concerns that a waste facility would negatively impact air and water in the area. Some were also concerned that a waste facility would deter cleaner businesses from locating to the area. The residents-turned-activists consistently showed up at meetings of the county council, county commissioners, and the plan commission, pressuring officials to take a stand against the proposal. However, the proposal never came before county officials for review. Commissioner's Administrator Angela Purdy says, as of this afternoon, IDEM has not confirmed the company's permit application has been withdrawn from the review process.
The City of Bloomington's Transportation Department will offer free bus rides this coming Saturday in honor of Rosa Parks. Bloomington residents are welcome to come to the Downtown Transit Center on February 3rd to celebrate Rosa Parks as part of Black History Month. The program will last from 1 to 2 p.m. at the Downtown Transit Center. A presentation on She Changed the Course of History will be acted out. Refreshments, Jim Crow artifacts, and photo opportunities will be planned as well. To celebrate, bus rides will be free all of Saturday, February 3rd.
Indiana House Democrats said they're worried about the state of the Department of Child Services. House Democratic Leader Terry Gooden from Austin, Indiana, issued a statement today in the wake of the first progress report evaluating DCS issued by the Child Welfare Policy and Practice Group.
I'm thrilled to see that the actual work has begun to try to figure out how the state of Indiana can fix the Department of Child Services and especially help those children who are at risk and in need. As the group has come in to try to do the investigations, I hope they get the magnifying glass out and look real close and investigate at the local level and have input from those field workers and caseworkers or those folks who are out in the field and those families that are being impacted by the department to make sure that they have their input, because their input will be very integral in trying to come up with a fix.
DCS's evaluation by the Child Welfare Policy and Practice Group comes after the resignation of DCS Director Mary Beth Bonaventura last month. Bonaventura wrote in a public resignation letter to Governor Eric Holcomb, quote, "I choose to resign rather than being complicit in the decreasing the safety, permanency, and well-being of children who have nowhere else to turn," unquote. Bonaventura claimed Holcomb's appointee to the agency was detrimental to the integral department functions and was putting children's lives at risk. Gooden also expressed his concerns about the agency in a written statement that reads, quote, "The problems facing DCS are so extreme that I would not be surprised if we end up with a complete overhaul of the agency itself. It appears that this work will take much longer than the March 15th deadline for this year's legislature," unquote. The Child Welfare Policy and Practice Group is a private, nonprofit organization developed to assist child welfare, mental health, and juvenile justice systems. Bonaventura took a job as special counsel to Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill earlier this month.
Indiana Senate Republicans have initiated a last-minute proposal to allow 10% of public school districts' teachers to be unlicensed. These teachers would not have to pass certain required content area exams. Critics say the exams are too difficult and prevent qualified teachers from entering the classroom. Lawmakers say the bill will allow public schools to better compete with charter schools in the face of a statewide teacher shortage. Charter schools currently only require 90% of their teachers to be licensed. This bill is the most recent attempt by Indiana Republicans to loosen teacher licensure rules, putting them at odds with teachers' unions. State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jennifer McCormick says relaxing licensure rules still means that school corporations and boards will retain control over who they hire. In a written statement, McCormick said, quote, "We are at the point where we are starting to cut opportunities for kids because we simply do not have people to fill classrooms," end quote. The measure was part of Senate Bill 387, heard yesterday in the State Senate Education Committee. Legislators are expected to vote on the bill next week.
The Indiana legislature's short session is set to end March 15th. This afternoon, the legislature struck down a number of bills which were under consideration. Senate Bill 1014, which would have established a state commission for redistricting electorates, died in the House this afternoon, along with House Bill 1022. That bill would have repealed the requirement to obtain a license to carry a handgun. A bill that was put forward for the third year in a row by Seymour Republican Jim Lucas. House Bill 1011, which would have made it illegal to put on so-called anti-patriotic displays during sporting events, also died in the House today. Meanwhile, Indiana's prohibition-era law against selling alcohol on Sundays looks like it might meet its end this session. House Bill 1051 was assigned to the Senate Commission on Public Policy. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Carolyn Vanderweil.
And I'm Ron Bronson. Support for WFHB is provided by attorneys Eric Slotograph and Ben Neoff. Slotograph Neoff is located at 200 East 3rd Street in downtown Bloomington, assisting families and small businesses in meeting the legal challenges of life, providing estate planning and wills, as well as families' law services. More information is available at 812-332-6000. Or online at slotographlegal.com. Slotograph Neoff, law for business, community, and life.
Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton, Community and Family Resources Director Beverly Callender Anderson, and Police Chief Mike Dekoff presented the next steps for the city's Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force this afternoon. The presentation this afternoon is the first update from the task force this year. We'll start by hearing from Mayor Hamilton.
I'm not giving most of the remarks today. I just want to note what we're doing is in the vein of transparency and openness about what's going on in the city, the efforts that we're undertaking. We know safety, civility, and justice is an activity that we pursue. It is not a destination that we achieve. It is an effort that will be ongoing, and we just wanted to do this regular update on what is happening. I want to particularly thank and then introduce Beverly Callender Anderson, head of the Community and Family Resources Department for the city, and also Mike Dekoff, chief of police for the city, for their efforts in this arena. And I'm going to hand it over to them, who will give more specific updates about what's been going on and what we can look forward to.
All right. Okay. Beverly, thank you.
Well, thank you. As the mayor said, this process has been about a year and a half long. The Community Justice and Mediation Center, we started this process by having the Community Justice and Mediation Center do a three-stage deliberative dialogue process where we gathered information from various sectors of the community, members of the community that use the downtown. And then following that process, the task force, Safety, Civility, and Justice task force was formed, and that task force met from February of last year until June of last year. When they began meeting, the task force issued some initial recommendations, hoping that we could get started, get our feet on the ground, and get started really quickly. And those recommendations were increasing an official presence along Kirkwood in the downtown, enforcing the laws that were on the books, increasing programming in People's Park, addressing sanitation in the parks, and meeting with the Department of Corrections, Excise Police, and others in the area to discuss how they impact Bloomington. And those recommendations were addressed. The police department, and I don't know if Chief Dekoff wants to talk more about this, but he can. But they worked with Indiana University to hire four of Indiana University's part-time officers to work alongside BPD to patrol the downtown. And additionally, they trained their parking enforcement staff in de-escalation techniques. And so that way, many times law enforcement did not have to be called because parking enforcement was able to de-escalate a situation. Is that, we're good with that? Thanks. Parks and Rec partnered with Centerstone to create a program to employ Centerstone clients as seasonal maintenance workers. Centerstone staff worked alongside them to supervise the work teams, and then they maintained People's Seminary, Waldron Hill and Buskirk, Building Trades, and Reverend Butler Parks. So not only did that provide job experience and income for the clients of Centerstone that worked in those teams, it also worked to help keep those parks clean during the summer. And I am told that that is going to, they're working to continue that program this next summer. Several of our staff and council members met with locations downtown that serve alcohol, state officials, downtown restaurant owners, faith communities, and we're just working with everyone to determine how we can all work together to address this. We realize that unless we all work together, it's not going to work. It's not just the city's problem. It's not just downtown business owners' problem. It's not just the state's problem or issue, that it's everyone's. So in June, when the task force issued their final report, they added additional recommendations to that. And those recommendations included installing a public restroom or public restrooms based on a West Coast model of the pit stop, increased lighting in some key areas, assessing some key areas and redesigning them to make them more community friendly, implementing a mental health first aid and mental health 101 training, secure funding for safety, civility, and justice initiatives by establishing private-public partnerships to develop resources for persons experiencing homelessness and those who serve them, to expand day sheltering services and work with local shelters to encourage more on-site programming, and to advocate for collaboration between social services and law enforcement to provide comprehensive care coordination. So some of these have been accomplished, and some are on schedule to be accomplished later in the year. And I'll just go through what we've done and where we are on those. The public restroom piece, as we researched more and more about the pit stop, it became more costly than what we initially thought. And so what we're doing now is looking for some alternative to that. Still somewhat of a pit stop model, but not exactly what they have out west. And so we're still researching that. As far as the lighting is concerned, the Public Works Department has identified two locations downtown to install new lighting in alleyways. Installation is scheduled for the second quarter of this year at a site on North Walnut, and then there is a second site on South Washington that's currently on hold because of some new construction that's happening, and they don't want to install the lighting and then have it ripped out, so they're going to wait until that construction is done and then install the lighting. From the assessment and redesign of key areas, a redesign of People's Park is being planned by the Parks and Recreation Department, and our Bloomington Arts and Recreation District is currently working on their strategic plan, which will take this recommendation into consideration. We are on target with Centerstone to implement both the Mental Health 101 and the Mental Health First Aid trainings in 2018. And these sessions will help participants learn how to help someone who is experiencing mental health or substance misuse challenges. The training will target individuals who work or live downtown, but will be open to the public. And so you should be hearing more about that pretty soon. As the mayor stated, there was the first South Central Opioid Summit that took place last September, and it was very successful, very well attended, I think about 600 people. And there is a second summit planned now for September 18th and 19th of this year, so we're working on that already. And additionally, the county has an Opioid Awareness Commission, and that commission meets monthly, and they're working on the summit, they're working on community outreach efforts, and also looking at legislation that can impact our community. And the programming in People's Park that we talked about earlier, I'm moving on now to the public-private partnership, but the programming that we talked about earlier in People's Park was made possible because of the generosity of Kirkwood business owners, and so they sponsored that during the months of August and September of last year. And additionally, the city, the county, and local businesses joined together to fund the expansion of day sheltering at Shalom Community Center to include weekends. And we also established a campaign to encourage donations to local nonprofits by individuals. And so individuals can contribute to local nonprofits. The city, the county, businesses are, you know, contributing to direct services. And so we're, all, again, all in this together. As far as resources are concerned, there are two online resources that are now available. A homelessness services webpage was created and is on the city's website. It is at bloomington.in.gov/homeless-resources. And then also Bloomington Revealed is another online tool. The homelessness services page gives easy, up-to-date access to resources available to people experiencing homelessness or in need of mental or physical health services, counseling, housing, food, and a number of other resources. But it makes it easy for providers or student groups or other organizations to access this information when they're trying to help people. The Bloomington Revealed site is a place where some of the challenges facing our community will be examined. It's the city's effort at taking the data around a complex topic and turning it into a set of easy-to-understand visualizations. Our city's safety, civility, and justice initiatives cover a wide array of issues from housing insecurity and homelessness to drug addiction and healthcare access, community relations with law enforcement, and even the distribution of public art. So taken individually, these data points help us to understand trends, but as a set, the visualizations make it easier for members of the public and the city and people working on the front line to understand how these different issues interact with one another. And so you can see both of those overhead. We've established a metrics team. The metrics team will measure the performance of safety, civility, and justice initiatives. And as the mayor said, the Community Coordinating Council was created to monitor the process of the progress of the recommendations and identify new challenges that we might be seeing in the downtown and around the city. Additionally, Indiana University's Office of First Experience Program provided information to students on personal safety and encouraged them to work with local organizations to impact homelessness, addictions, and mental health issues. And then we'll move on to the expansion of the day sheltering. So Shalom Center expanded hours, and I'm not exactly sure when that happened, but they expanded their hours to include weekends. And so instead of being open 5 days a week, they're now open seven. And they reported in December that they averaged 80 breakfast meals on the weekends, on Saturdays and Sundays, averaged about 100 meals for lunch on the weekends. And that's how they measure. They don't measure as people come through the door, but they measure the meals that they serve. And although these numbers are smaller than the rest of the week, I'm told by Forrest Gilmore that they are pretty much exclusively Shalom clients who are homeless. And so that means that those people that would normally be on the street during that time now have a warm place to be and warm meals. In addition to Shalom's expanded hours, the Interfaith Winter Shelter partnered with Wheeler Mission to provide services in one consistent location 7 days a week, and that's at the Wheeler Mission site on the west side. So people in need of overnight shelter during the winter don't have to wonder what location to go to on a particular evening. It's always the same place, and Wheeler Mission staff are working with Interfaith Winter Shelter volunteers to provide those services to individuals. And I'm going to actually let the police chief talk a little more about this. Center Stone received a grant to work with the police department on a mobile crisis unit, and they have plans underway for peer recovery coaches to be embedded at Bloomington Hospital.
You've been listening to Community and Family Resources Director Beverly Callender Anderson speak during a press conference this afternoon from the Safety, Civility, and Justice Task Force. The full conference, including public comment and questions, will be available this evening at WFHB.org.
Support for WFHB comes from MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
And up next, our weekly public opinion segment, Voices in the Street.
Welcome to Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion feature. Voices in the Street provides an opportunity for people in our community to share their opinions and perspectives on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents.
This week on Voices in the Street. Do you feel safe in Bloomington? These days, one might wonder whether it is still possible to feel safe. Violent crimes are reported instantaneously, and one could worry endlessly about one's safety at home. We have gone out into the streets and asked your friends and neighbors, do you think Bloomington is safe, and do you feel safe in Bloomington?
I do feel safe, for the most part. Living downtown, I feel like I don't necessarily like walking home alone. Yeah. I work pretty close to where I live, so sometimes it's kind of sketchy, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But
relatively.
Yeah, yeah.
More than some places.
Do you?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, I think it's, like, anywhere can be sketchy if the right characters are there, but yeah. For the most part, it's a city, and there is, like a heavy homeless population, which I think a lot of people could find threatening, but it's not necessarily bothersome to me, and it's still pretty safe. Like, we're still in the Midwest, and we're still in a pretty rural area.
Yes, I do. I don't think I've really ever felt unsafe. Unless I was in, like, a sketchier area, but, like, never in, like, the town or on campus.
Yeah, I would say I do. I've never personally had anything bad happen to me, and I feel overall it's relatively safe.
I do, yes. I have lived in large cities, so I might have a biased opinion about it, but comparatively to a city like Washington, D.C. or Chicago, far less concerned about my safety. I think I know what neighborhoods I will avoid. I do get WFIU's newsletter, so I see sometimes, unfortunately, where crime is occurring, and just like living in a big city, that's where I can avoid and not go, but that doesn't mean it's not a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I feel safe. I'm a college student, so, you know, there's campus security, and, you know, the one thing that I will say is that the homeless population does approach a lot of people, and that can be a little bit scary sometimes, but not really. They're normally fine.
I do. Yeah. Well, I think that late at night it could be more dangerous, especially for single women. I mean, you just have to exercise caution, go with the group, don't walk around impaired in the middle of the night.
This has been Voices in the Street, WFHB's weekly public opinion segment, featuring candid commentary from your friends and neighbors on the issues and events that matter most to Bloomington residents. Voices in the Street is a volunteer-powered production of our News and Public Affairs Department here on WFHB 91.3 and 98.1 FM, community radio for South Central Indiana.
You've You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Andrew McCurran, Alex Davis, Wes Martin, and Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Voices in the Street was produced by Barbara Von Provosky. Our engineer today was Wes Martin. Our theme music is provided by Dan Graffey, Ben Lumsdane, and Scott Shumsky. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Ron Bronson.
And I'm Carolyn Vandeweel. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered independent daily news program.
Stay tuned for Big Talk with Michael Glab, a WFHB news and public affairs program highlighting the issues, events, and people in South Central Indiana. That's coming up next on WFHB.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB Bloomington Community Radio. Our news is written and reported by volunteers working to provide local news, cover local issues, and strengthen our local community. We invite you to participate. You may submit questions, comments, and story ideas to news@wfhb.org. You can become a Daily Local News volunteer by attending new volunteer orientation. You can find an archive of past shows and individual news reports online at WFHB.org and catch live broadcasts of the Daily Local News Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. We are local, longer.